Father God, we thank you for the gift of your living word, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of your written word, the scriptures. And we pray that now, by your Holy Spirit, you would come amongst us as your people. Help us to know your will and strengthen us to live for you in this world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated? You might find it helpful again to get hold of the red pew Bibles. There should be one in each pew. And again, we're looking at John's Gospel, chapter 14, page 105 of the New Testament. As Denver said this morning, we are continuing our sermon series going through John's Gospel. Well, I wonder if you've ever applied for a job and if you've looked at the job description. And usually in most of these job descriptions, there's an essential qualities of the person they are looking for. Now, as assistant area dean, I sometimes help out parishes that are in a time of vacancy as they're looking for a new vicar. And I look at the parish profile, I look at the job description, and I laugh to myself thinking even the Archangel Gabriel couldn't come to a place like this. They want an amazing preacher, great in pastoral care, an efficient administrator, top fundraiser, expert in architecture and music, loves children and animals, savvy in all types of technology, fluent in biblical Greek and Hebrew, and also a driving license. I wonder who can do these things. But forget for a moment about ordained clergy, forget about vicars. What would be the distinguishing marks, if you like, of all of us who call ourselves this morning a disciple of Jesus Christ, a Christian? What would be in our job description? What would be the essential qualities, I wonder? Well, let's remember where we are in John's Gospel. We're in that very intimate atmosphere of the upper room. The disciples have been left embarrassed and ashamed when Jesus took off his outer garments. He knelt down, and one by one, he washed their feet. They were ashamed because he did it and not them. He did the menial of tasks because no one else would do it. Judas has been revealed as the betrayer and has now left the room. Peter has been revealed as the one who will deny Jesus three times. And all the way through this scene, Jesus has been unsettling his disciples as he says he now must leave them and they will be without them. So it's not surprising then that the disciples feel unsettled. And last week, at the start of John 14, we heard the words of Jesus, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." They believed in God, an extraordinary thing to ask of them. And they're to find comfort, not in the circumstances that will happen to them, not even in themselves. They're to find comfort that he's going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house and then take them to be with him. And so this scene moves on. These are Jesus' last words. They are his legacy, if you like. And to his disciples and to us this morning, he talks about the Spirit and about obedience. So first of all, he reminds us that every Christian has the Spirit. Jesus' presence will still be with them. Yes, Jesus will leave his friends and disciples, but he will not leave them alone. Now, how can this be? How can Jesus say on the one hand he's leaving them, but on the other hand says that he will still be with them? Well, let's look at verses 17 and 18 of our reading. Verse 17. "This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor it knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you." Because of the Trinity, because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in a very special sense, Jesus will still be with them because the Spirit is still going to be with them. He is indeed leaving, but he's also coming to them in a different form, experienced in a different way when the Spirit is poured out at Pentecost. And the Spirit's presence, if you like, is not a temporary measure. He abides with you and he will be in you. This is one of the great blessings that every Christian believer has. We are not on this journey by ourselves. We are not trying to believe as hard as we can by ourselves. The Holy Spirit resides and lives within us. It's a great blessing for the Christian. But the Spirit is also a comforter. Jesus gives the coming Spirit a fascinating name. The underlined word is Paraclete, and that could be translated as comforter or advocate in our translation. It means one who helps you in a courtroom, an advisor or a witness acting on your behalf. Have you ever seen all those courtroom scenes and your favorite lawyer stands up? He runs rings around the prosecution or the defense, whichever side you're on. Do you remember the great skills of Perry Mason, Kavanaugh QC, Rumpel off the Bailey? It's nothing compared to the Holy Spirit, the advocate. Jesus tells us we have one on our side who will be our witness, our defense, who will be with us and encourage us. That is the image that Jesus is using here. But even more than that, he will be our teacher. He will be one who reminds us of what God has said. Verse 26, if you look at it, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." And isn't that reassuring when we take that step of faith and we want to share our Christian faith with others? We might feel tongue-tied. We might feel that we don't have all the answers and we're not going to win every argument. But the Spirit works in us and through us. Even in our weakness, even in our frailty, when we're tongue-tied, the Spirit can still work through us. He will bring to our memory things we have learned. Did you notice that the Spirit is also talked of, not as a force, not as something impersonal, but as a person? The Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit. Truth and holiness, if you like, are to be the character of the Spirit who lives within us. If this morning we desire to be filled with the Spirit, then something of that truthfulness and that holiness needs to be part of our lives. Jesus is to be very clear that disciples are to be different from the world around us. You know, we try to rely sometimes upon our own strength, upon our own achievements, our own merits to get through life. But don't we know very well that our own willpower will let us down? Don't we know that New Year resolutions very rarely make it past the second week of January? We know what we're like. Sometimes we're weak and we are frail. We have good intentions, but suddenly life intervenes and everything gets thrown up in the air. Jesus asked the Father to give us the Spirit to bring comfort, guidance, and help. Later on, this is spelled out in the epistles of the New Testament, when the apostles talk about the fruit of the Spirit. They talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But here we are given an amazing introduction, that if you are a Christian this morning, the Spirit lives within you. That's not just for a special class of Christians. That's for everyone who calls Jesus Christ as Lord. So as well as the coming of the Spirit, Jesus uses his last words to talk about the importance of obedience. Now, at first sight, loving and obeying seem to be contrasts or opposites. Loving seems very warm, kind, fuzzy, nice. Obeying seems harsh, critical, judgmental. But let's remember these are the very words of Jesus himself. Four times in this passage, he brings about the connection between, if you say you love me, you must obey me. Or he puts it another way in verse 24. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. The disciples are not left under any illusion that following Jesus means sacrifice and commitment. This is not some sort of vague, waffly philosophy. This is not something remote and abstract. What Jesus is talking about here is a whole way of life that affects every part of us, who we are and what we do. In the Gospels, Jesus talks about forgiveness, about loving others. He talked about marriage and divorce. He talked about worry and anxiety, about how we use our money, about heaven and hell, about prayer and giving to others. It was all immensely practical and life-changing. Those who love me will keep my word. We all know what it's like to use fine-sounding words, say all the right things, but it's much, much harder to actually put it into practice and to do what we say. All of us, we're encouraged here, need to make an effort to have our words and our deeds match up. If we took seriously these words about loving and obeying, then maybe the Christian church would have a better reputation. Often the charge of hypocrisy is thrown at us. And sometimes, let's face it, it's true. When we see the mess that churches get into, let alone the shocking catalogue of historic scandals and abuses. And the letter of James says pretty much the same thing. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. And this is the test that Jesus leaves his disciples with. Love and obedience are not opposite. If we really say we love Jesus, we will want to obey the words he's given to us. So this morning, these are the twin marks, if you like, that Jesus leaves us as disciples. An awareness of following the Holy Spirit, and an awareness of living a life of obedience as well of love. So what then is the result of all this? Jesus talks about a calmness, a peace that can only come from God. Look down again at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And Jesus knows that we need that comfort. Jesus knows what we're going through and the unique pressures each one of us is under. We need an inner peace that can go through the storms of life when everything seems to be conspiring against us, when we come to the end of our own resources and we simply cannot see a way out. Hear a lot about mental well-being and mindfulness. There's a much deeper awareness of issues of mental health issues in our society, and that is a profoundly good and helpful thing. I think it's only beginning to be recognized now that the havoc COVID has played with different people, with their mental health, with families, with relationships. We're beginning to see the devastation in many places. And for the Christian, we should not be embarrassed to seek help. There are many organizations and counselors who can help us. We can turn to feeling. Because Christians are not immune from the pressures and stresses of this world. But there's also a spiritual dimension we should not ignore. Through the Spirit, Christ lives in us, and we live with him. We pray to, and we're aware of a comfort that only the Christian knows. And our faith can navigate through some very tough and stormy waters ahead. And Jesus wants us to have faith and believe in him today. Even when it feels we're just holding on by our fingertips, he wants us to believe and have faith in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That is what Christ wants for you today as a Christian, to believe in him and have life in his name. We might be sitting here today in this rather drafty church thinking, I need something more in my Christian life. Perhaps we think we need a theology degree. Perhaps we think we need a different personality. Maybe we think we need different opportunities in life, perhaps more money, and then I could really live for Christ. But no, Jesus has called us and equipped us to live for him right where we are. The Spirit has been given to us as the advocate, the comforter, and the Spirit of truth lives within us. The Spirit will help us to have lives of love and obedience exactly in the places where he has put us. And may we never tire of being a disciple and of following Jesus Christ in this world. Shall we pray? If you love me, you will keep my commands. Lord God, I thank you that in the Lord Jesus, you have saved us and you will keep us. Lord, you know our hearts and minds today. You know the things that keep us awake at night. You know our stresses and strains, our anxieties and our worries. Lord, may our hearts not be troubled. And may we have the strength to believe in you. Lord, I pray that even this week, you would give us the courage and the strength to live for you in the different situations you have put us in. Thank you that your Holy Spirit lives within us, a spirit of truth and of holiness. Lord, be with us, we pray. And may we live for you as your disciples, as your followers, as your children. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.